Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
Today, I want to talk about discipleship making, and I am going to talk about parenting as the main context, but if you're not a parent, how many of you know we still need, everyone is called to discipleship? Right? This is when Jesus said the Great Commission, make disciples of all nations. He didn't say that to parents. He said that to believers, right? So we're all in on this call in some way. So please listen up, whether you are a parent or not. But I remember becoming a parent for the first time, and I was holding Eliana in my hands, and she was not heavy. She was around, 5.5 pounds. So she was light, but I felt this heavy responsibility that came with this human child, that God had put this child into my hands. And I've had to grow in trust that ultimately she's in God's hands, that God is taking care of her, God is sustaining her, God has plans for her. But at the same time, with that, God put her in my hands, and there is a responsibility there. Right? And so, I often just think of my role in forming her life, and my role in teaching her the ways of Christ, wanting to see Christ formed in her, as Paul said in Galatians. And then as a parent too, I also think of all of the influences that want to form her as well. And that kind of makes you, oh man, you get protective, right? You just think of how the ways of this world are not the ways of Christ. It says in Romans 12, verse 2, don't conform to the pattern of this world. And when I think about this verse as a parent, part of it could also all of a sudden raise anxiety. The world is wanting to conform my child, right? And there is this pressure of conforming to the world that she will face. But then it goes on to say, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I think this is just a beautiful challenge for all of us. Now, when it comes to, forming the young generation, forming our children, the goal is not to remove them from the world and just say, hey, I don't want you to feel any of this conforming power. The goal is just not to say, hey, don't conform, don't conform, don't conform. The goal is to transform their mind, to teach them the ways of Christ like so thoroughly that they're going to be able to be in culture choosing the will of God, right? They're going to have a mind that's transformed. And so ultimately, that means too that I need to be part of this formation process. I need to have conversations with Eliana, because ultimately something or someone will form her and will form your child, right? If it's not you, it'll be media. If it's not you, it'll be school. If she doesn't learn sexuality from you, she might learn it on the playground, might learn it through media, might learn it in school, right? So this is where, as a parent, obviously Alien is 3, so I don't have to worry about that yet. But as a parent, it is important that even though some of these conversations can be awkward, right? I've never heard a parent say, I'm so excited for the talk. It's going to be great. Looking forward to that. I haven't heard that before, but again, this is still important stuff that we need to lead the charge in the forming of our kids, because they will hear the ideas and philosophies of the age, right? They will. And again, the goal is not to remove them from the world. It's to build resilient disciples. It's like Daniel entering Babylon, where he engaged in the culture and he actually influenced the culture, and he was shining in and through it. Because ultimately, As parents, setting up boundaries and stuff like that's important, especially right now, obviously, Aliana's three. So there's a lot of protection that we're doing with her. We're watching what her influences are and all of that. But eventually, the goal is to have them leave the nest, right? This is our series is titled Our Home, Our Nest. And right now, Aliana's in our home, and we want this to be just this formation place, this place of safety, this place of protection, but also we want her to be trained to leave one day. I don't like talking about that, but it's true. It will happen. And it's kind of cool that we're doing, we called the series Our Home, Our Nest, because lately I've been watching a live stream of an eagle family on YouTube. That's my YouTube channel. And it's really cool. These eagles had laid eggs, had little babies, and in the beginning, those little babies really didn't do anything, right? They just got sat on and got fed and got kept warm and all of these things. And now I think it's been like over a month, and these eagles are like, these little baby eagles are quite jacked. But they're still in the nest. They're still just hanging out there. But recently, you know, as I've been watching, what the baby eagles have been doing is they're actually flapping their wings. They're flapping, and sometimes they'll just open their feathers, and you kind of just see them doing this. They're learning to navigate the air, right? They're learning to fly, and I think it's a beautiful picture because as parents, we would, you know, the saying is don't prepare the road for your child, prepare the child for the road. As parents, we would want to prepare the air for them, right? Part of us maybe would want to say, don't leave the nest, stay here forever. But then you realize like, okay, you should leave the nest now, right? It's healthy, it's good. And we need to prepare them to be in this world that doesn't follow Christ, this world where they're gonna hear all kinds of different influences and stuff like that. And at that point, I want her to have gone through a discipleship school in my home where she has that transformed mind to be able to navigate the airs of this world and be a resilient disciple because she's called to shine, right? And it's beautiful that the Bible says when you have a transformed mind, that's gonna be able to happen. The goal is just not to say don't conform, but it's to be transformed so thoroughly by God and His Holy Spirit that you're able to recognize what is right and what is wrong and discern the will of God. So that is our call, amen? It's how we make disciples. And if we're gonna do that, on some level, we're gonna have to be teachers of the way of Jesus, amen? Every discipleship maker is a teacher. Again, the Great Commission, it says to make, you know, make disciples, baptizing, and then what's the next part? It's teaching, right? We must teach them. And so if you are going to be a discipleship maker, you're going to have to be a teacher. And sometimes we think teaching is like doing what I'm doing right now. But I think when it comes to making a disciple, teaching is often more of like an apprenticeship. You show up, you do the job, someone watches you do the job, and you slowly teach them in that way. It's not really a classroom setting, but it's more a one-to-one job modeling of this is how it's done. Now go and do it, and explaining what you're doing as you're going. This is what Paul said to the church in Corinth, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's discipleship, right? It's on some level, if you're gonna make disciples, you're doing that. Hey, watch me, follow me as I'm following the example of Jesus. And if you look at the discipleship school that Jesus took his disciples through, this is how he did it. He called fishermen who had apprenticed probably under their parents to learn how to fish. And then he says, follow me, apprentice under me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I think it's so cool that he used that term, right? These disciples, they would have known all of the way how to use nets, how to see storms approaching, how to track where the fish are biting. All of these things would have been second nature to them. And now Jesus is saying, you follow me the way that you followed your parents, and I'll teach you how to fish for men. In Mark 3:14, Jesus said this, he appointed 12 that they might be with him. That was the goal. Be with me. Do life with me. Eat meals with me. Listen to when I'm teaching the crowds, and then we'll gather up afterwards when you're all confused and don't quite get it, and I'll explain more, right? And Jesus just patiently poured into these disciples. I love watching in the Gospels where the disciples are so clueless about the kingdom of God, right? Like, these are fishermen, and they just don't have a concept as to how the kingdom of God works. And Jesus is constantly just teaching them and correcting them and pouring into them about this is what the kingdom looks like. And they're asking Jesus, you know, how do we pray? And Jesus teaches them how to pray. And then they see Jesus go and pray to the Father in secret. And all of these things, they were going through Jesus' discipleship school as they were with him. And so if you're going to make disciples, I think it's really, to put it really simply, making disciples is like spreading a virus. First, you become a carrier, right? That virus needs to be formed in you. Christ is obviously not a virus. Christ is beautiful. But we have to, if we're going to make disciples, doesn't Christ need to be formed in us, right? Christ must be formed in you. And if I can speak to parents in all the way that parenting is hard, maybe through that process of hardship, Christ wants to be formed in you even more. You're not a finished product yet, right? Parenting doesn't start when you're complete and then you pour into a child until they're complete. Parenting starts when you're incomplete. And then it exposes your incompleteness. Oh, man. Like, fruits of the Spirit are hard to exhibit in the middle of the night, right? They really are. But Christ is working in me. Let him work in you. Fall in love with Jesus. If you don't feel like you're a good teacher of God to others, I want to ask you this question. Do you love God and do you love his word? Do you love Jesus? Because all of my favorite teachers, they were in love with what they were teaching. Right? I still remember my English teacher. I despised English because who cares about grammar? Like, why are these rules important? And I come to English class and this teacher just loves English. And it was weird. It was like, why? What's the point? But she loved the power of story, the influence it had on people. And you know what? It kind of got me. It really did. And again, in the same way, if we want to form Christ in others, let Christ be formed in you. Become a carrier of Jesus. Fall in love with him so deeply. Fall in love with his word. And then let that out of your life. And then the next thing, if you want to spread a virus, you become a carrier and then you get around those that you want to spread to. Amen? No social distancing. This has to be, sorry for the COVID reference. I know we still have scars from that. But discipleship happens in close quarters. It does. This is what Paul wrote to one of his churches in Thessalonica, and it's just beautiful. He says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. We delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Isn't that beautiful? Like, when Paul was planting churches, he wasn't just leading seminars, right? He wasn't like, let's have a weekend seminar and we'll plant a church. He was pouring his life and his heart. He was being like a nursing mom caring for the new believers in that community. He brought the gospel, but he brought all of him to his whole life. This is what it says in verse 11. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. Look how personal this is, right? And Paul's not a father here, but these are his spiritual children, and he's speaking and encouraging them. And if I can give you encouragement, whether you're a parent or not, speak into the next generation. Do this. Encourage them, comfort them, urge them. I can still like remember like where I was, where, you know, leaders in my life, my discipleship school leader, I remember when I was in his office when he told me he saw leadership in me. I remember that lunch with Pastor Claude where he said the same. Like those things left a significant imprint in me. And this is what you can do as well with the next generation when you disciple with love and encouragement, like a father and like a mother. There was this large study done in the States, and in the study, their goal was to try to discover how do parents successfully pass down their faith. So this study was done with many religions, but they were trying to see what actually makes it successful in the transference of faith to children. The first thing that they found is that parents were by far the number one influence on the kids. That's very not surprising, but I think it's worth saying. And the next thing that they found is that relationship and the love that they had together was really, really important. So I'm going to read a quote from their study. Crucial in the parental transmission of religion to children is having generally warm, affirming relationships with them. Parents can be very invested and intentional about religious transmission, but if they have emotionally distant and critical relationships with their children, their efforts are likely to fail or backfire. So again, I think what Paul said to the church in Thessalonica was, obviously it's the Bible, but that's the heart. Right? I'm here to share the gospel. I'm here to share instruction, but I'm here to be a mother. I'm here to be a father. I'm here to love you. Discipleship always has to be done with love. Amen? One last thing I want to say today is that the process of discipleship is not easy. Right? If you're a parent of any child, you know that if you look at the discipleship journey, it's not just a perfect straight line to have Christ formed in them. Amen? It's not. There's like, oh, they're getting it, and then, oh, no. Okay, I guess we're starting over. Oh! Oh. And even being a young adults leader, I could just, you know, see at the time some young adults, and it's like, oh, boy. They've got a ways to go. And now with some time past, I see them now becoming, you know, functional adults and having kids of their own and raising their kids successfully. And it's like, oh, that's awesome. But as parents, that's probably way harder, right? You have way more skin in the game when things are difficult. And when maybe you don't think things are clicking. I want to read to you what Paul wrote to, again, his spiritual children in Galatia. In Galatians 4, verse 19, it says this, "My dear children, whom I again am in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone." See, Paul would love, you know, he couldn't just grab the next jet and go there. It was really hard to travel. So he can't be with them. But he's still writing this. And then he says this, "Because I am perplexed about you." How many parents out there have been perplexed before? Anyone? Maybe you don't have to raise your hand. Kids might see that. Other translations translate perplexed in this way. NLT says, "I don't know how else to help you." New King James Version says, "I have doubts about you." CSB says, "I don't know what to do about you." The CVE says, "You really have me puzzled." And this is very real. The NEB says, "I'm at my wit's end." If we're going to make disciples, I think we're going to be perplexed, right? By the way, you've probably made someone else perplexed before too, right? We're going to be perplexed. And even Paul, as he's teaching Jesus and the gospel to the church, you know, he was probably there, he taught the gospel, and now they're falling back on that, falling back into the law, and he's perplexed. He's like, what now? I don't know what to do. What's the next move, right? He has this very like real, what do I do? But I love what he said before that. I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Discipleship can be this painful process where you're laying a foundation, you're relaying a foundation, you're laying the foundation again. They get it. Yes! And then they don't. Oh! And then you lay a foundation, you lay a foundation, you lay a foundation. Don't give up. Endure. Have endurance until Christ is formed in others. I love this quote. We don't sacrifice our kids' formation so that we can have an easier life. We sacrifice the ease of our life so our kids can have a biblical formation. We have to continue until the job is done, right? I remember one day, me and Eliana were playing with Play-Doh, you know, as you do when you have a two-year-old, and now she's three. And I was making her a snowman. She wanted me to make a snowman, and so I make this really nice snowman. I know it's three balls and that's it really, but still, it had a nice nose. It was really good. And she proceeds just to squash it. And I laugh, and it's funny, and then she tells me, make a snowman, make a snowman. I'm like, okay, and I proceed to make a really nice snowman, and she goes, squash, ha, ha, ha. And she tells me, make it again, and I make the snowman again, and I make the snowman again, and I make the snowman again. And it was funny, and we were having a good time, but in that moment, I felt God just reminding me of all the times that I probably squashed what he was wanting to form inside of me. All the times where God was wanting to teach me a lesson, wanting to work something inside of me, and I would squash it. But every time he would do the same thing, he would pick up the Play-Doh, and he would form Christ in me. And he would work with me, and he would convict me, and he would be patient with me. That's one of the most beautiful things as becoming a parent that I've come to realize is, wow, God, you've been so patient with me when I didn't cooperate with what you wanted to do. And so as we look to disciple our kids and we disciple the next generation, let's learn from God's beautiful patience with us that he still shows. How many of you are finished products here today? Hopefully not. You're not. Jesus is still being formed in you. So can we commit to this process of having Christ formed in our children until it's done? It might be a painful process. It might be a perplexing process. But in all the ways where you're perplexed and you don't know what to do, go to God. He wants to help you. He wants to give you wisdom. He cares more about your child's formation than you do. He loves your child more than you do, and he's working in your child. Don't lose sight of that. You will be perplexed, but don't lose sight of what God's doing in you. I love what Paul says in Philippians 1 verse 4. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Can we believe that? Can we believe that in our youth? Can we believe that in our young adults? Can we believe that in our children? Let's stand and pray.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.